We are so excited you made time today. Your day has been fresh, so we're really excited you made time for us because you have a heavy day today here at the Plumas Book Festival.
And you're leaving early tomorrow, too, because you have a heavy day again tomorrow. Oh, yes, mics. Those are important. My bad.
Should I be taking one of these?
You can have this one. Yeah.
Take hers.
You're not just...
Take hers. She has ADHD, and it bounces and wiggles. Perfect.
He's mad at me all the time.
They're like siblings.
All the time.
You're not allowed to have the mic.
I'm not allowed to have a lot of things. The ADHD kind of runs the world.
Okay.
Yeah, and it ruins Tom's life.
It makes you creative.
They were both active duty Coast Guard. Yeah. That's how we met.
Oh.
And so...
Wait, that's how you met or that's how
yeah,
you
that's how
met?
We met?
Well, that's how all of us met, but... But yes, we met that way.
We were at a party.
Uh-huh. It was all active duty.
Active duty members, and I was the active duty member, and she was just the partner.
Yeah, I was the only one at the party that didn't have a military ID, because we were just dating at the time. I had never been to a military party before. I did not care what anybody's rank was. I did not know that was important. I didn't care.
But it mattered. And I was active duty. That's probably why I didn't know how to do this.
Did it end up being a problem?
Not with that group in Texas, but it was a problem.
We got rid of that group, honestly.
Another group we were stationed
with. This is
the
group now.
Oh, yeah. I love that, though.
We kicked
at least, I mean, even if there was some drama,
we kicked everybody else out.
At least you get friends out of it.
We kicked everybody else out.
Yeah.
And we had a big group. Yeah. Now it's just us.
Yeah. But it's you were the
besties. We're the
best
people.
Yeah.
We're the best ones.
So, I mean, that's that night her and I just talked about books that whole night.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's just we knew. Like, we also have the same maiden name. We have,
we got asked 3 times last night if we were sisters. We are not. We're not related at all.
Yeah. I strongly believe in soul connections between friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like we don't talk about it enough, but there are soul connections. There is kismet.
Yes.
And soul, friends who are your soulmates.
If you sat down with us and heard the stories, April's and mine's family lines and storylines are so...
We both have that white people lore that there's someone Native American, and neither one of us actually have Native Americans in our family.
Well, how'd you find out? 23andMe?
My cousin did it.
And she had. We have Nigerians in our history, but zero.
That's how it actually usually is. It's that somebody in the past passed for Native, who was actually Black, right? And then everyone was like, "Oh, there's a Cherokee princess somewhere."
I was just I'm a librarian, and I was literally just telling my book club that because we read Nikki Payne's.
Nikki. She is sex
her second one.
Sex, Lies, and Sensibility.
Such a good
obsessed.
We love obsessed. Nikki. She's a friend on our pod.
I love Nikki.
She's been on our pod a couple of times.
She
we
has.
Love her.
She's
amazing.
I'm obsessed with
her. We met her in Annapolis.
She's incredible.
She's amazing.
So funny.
That, fake Cherokee thing that they talk about in there. I was like, yeah, that's my family history. And then I was sharing with him, because I live in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Loving versus Virginia, which is, it's fantastic. It is about the last, illegal marriage between...
Oh, girl, I know Loving vs. Virginia.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I read the audiobook, which was the adaptation of the screenplay.
Uh-huh.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And that's the history of where I live right now. And I'm like... But it was the same thing. She was passing as Native American because she was lighter skinned.
Right, right.
And
right,
I was
right.
like, you guys got to read that book.
Which is kind of wild because Natives are also so heavily discriminated against.
Yes.
So it's just this weird, oh man, American history.
Yeah, but because the white people were marrying into the tribes.
Let's not lie. So we suck in general.
These white men are dangerous. Best line in Disney ever.
Talk about shirt. Queen's book.
We got 2 of them here.
How have you balanced being a doctor, a full-time doctor, doing a real grown-up job while writing full-time? Because you have 2 fully published novels, guys.
2.
The third one's coming out next summer.
Woo!
Sorry, you don't only know what. Bitch!
Dude, Molly, you gotta stop calling her.
No, you don't understand.
It's,
as a writer,
bitch, positive connotation.
Yeah. Because
she'll also say respectfully, "fuck you."
Right.
As well.
As a writer, I struggle with balance, right? Because finding balance with life and your responsibilities, and finding time for that creative outlet. So when I meet authors that are killing it like this, like you are,
but you're a whole doctor,
a whole doctor. Like you went to med school.
Yeah.
how did we get here?
Well, so I've been doing this. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. I'm like a OG writer. So when I was 6 years old, that's when I wrote my first book, right? And
love
so
that.
For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a cardiologist. I am also a cartoonist. Follow me at Shirley World MD. And obviously also an author.
Yeah.
And I've been doing all of those things or interested in all of those things since I was a really little kid, right? But of course, you know, you talk to little kids and you ask them like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they list out, they're like, I'm going to be an astronaut and a veterinarian and this. And so I would be like, I'm going to write books and I'm also going to draw and I'm also going to be a doctor. And people would be like, that's really cute, Shirlene.
Yeah. Adorable.
Very cute, Shirlene. Yeah. And I just stuck to it. So my lore is that, okay, when I was six, I wrote my first little picture book. I still have it about Lucky the dog. It's illustrated and everything. And then when I was 10, I asked for a book signing for my 10th birthday party.
Oh, my God, I love you.
That's incredible. And,
we're getting her a shirt, too, with Matt.
You're going to get an honorary bestie shirt.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so honored. Yes.
We're all one of us now.
But,
no, I love it.
Yeah. So, like, I have this picture of me with my book, and the book is, the title is crazy. I was very dramatic. It was Tears of Happiness, Tears of Grief, both I cannot handle.
That is so dramatic.
So dramatic.
If you read this book, you would...
My nine-year-old boy, uh-huh. His favorite song is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart by Taylor Swift. And I'm like, buddy, you're nine. What is going on in your life? What did we do to you?
He goes,
Nana died, and I'm still feeling it. And I'm like, okay, well, listen again, buddy. Okay, let's put on Taylor. She will soothe my soul.
I love the emotional intelligence. We foster that.
Yes. That is one of the things that we are working on with our boys. They are both very emotionally intelligent.
So you don't just write emotional, though. You write flawed humans.
Yes. I love writing flawed humans.
So in On Rotation, Angie is so flawed.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a negative way because we're all flawed in different ways, but this character, you wrote her to be complex, flawed, have family dynamics that are struggles, but she doesn't see her own barriers.
Right.
But
that's my favorite part of writing.
Yeah, but why is this so important, do you think?
I think it's so important because, first of all, I think that is what human beings are. It's very easy for us to read books and try to project ourselves onto aspirational characters who do the right thing, make the right decisions, speak their minds when they're supposed to. They're like, you know, I'm size 2 and I kick butt and I'm like, you know what I mean? And I'm never nervous
and I'm going to take on the world.
Yes. Instead, and I also... Particularly, I love writing complex women and complex black women in particular, right?
Well,
go ahead. And I think that's like because we really get this one story right projected about this demographic and it's typically let's say multiple stories. There's either the strong stoic like Angela Bassett or Viola Davis plays them, you know what I mean, or it's the like neck cracking like comic relief best friend character, right?
But heaven forbid we have a real human being.
Yes. Right. And so when I was writing On Rotation, I was like, she's not going to be relatable to most people.
Yeah.
And
I actually get her.
Yes.
I get her because I'm a flawed human who thinks like this.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't think, like, the people that... I read Goodreads after, reviews after, because I want to see who I'm fighting, right? Because if I disagree with someone, we're going to have an argument.
I only read the reviews when I didn't like the book and want to make sure other people agreed with me.
So, like, the people that were complaining about her being a whiner, and I'm like, no, she's not whining. It's her life. She's allowed to complain.
Yeah.
And they
wouldn't have called her that if she weren't a woman.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we get... You know what I'm saying? We get all of the negatives, right?
Yeah.
No, and I think that if you understand, like, one of the things I try to do in all of my books is that I try, and it's part of why I use a very close first person with my female characters, is I try my hardest to be like, here are the circumstances that this character has kind of come up in and why they think the way they do.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, for example, Angie is, you could write her off and say she's very insecure.
Yes.
Right? But she has a lot of reasons
for
her insecurity.
But she's also super confident.
Yes.
Because she knows she's smart. She yes. knows she, what she brings to the table. Yeah. But she also is unsure on why nobody loves her.
Right. Yeah.
She's unsure on why she's this way.
Right.
And that's such a real human woman thing to feel.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a confident girl. Right. I will stand up for myself. But also, I'm not going to speak up for my own self.
Exactly.
Right? I will defend her to the moon, but mm-hmm. I'm not saying shit for myself.
And that's why I say don't talk about my best friend like that.
Because I do. I will talk about myself terribly.
Right.
Don't talk about my best friend like that. I love that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But I think that part of the... I'm a character writer.
Yeah.
I start with my characters
first. That's exactly how this feels.
Yes. Yes. And then I want them to grow mm-hmm. and learn throughout the process.
That's the point.
Right?
That's such... That's where you get the Grace vibes in this book.
Right.
Because we're getting maturity slowly.
Yes.
When people think this book, people were pissed in like the con, like you read people like this and Grace. The Grace you're seeing is the slow, gradual growth of a character, not the sex in freaking Rose.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It doesn't, Grace isn't just sex.
And like Meredith is so complicated.
She's so flawed.
She's so messy flawed, and that's why we love her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I sometimes feel like people can understand messiness on screen a little bit better than they can in
right,
books.
Right, because they expect perfection here. Because
yes.
it's a short, you only get so much, right? But when you're watching a show like Grey's Anatomy, you get, we've gotten 20 plus seasons with them. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and when that show starts, you do not think Meredith will come out being a competent doctor.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, no.
So, lots of fun questions here,
yes.
but I would love to know, if you're making songs about your writing style, who's this vibe? Who is this? Musically,
so,
who are we?
So, I have playlists. For both of my books.
I'll put them on the socials,
yes.
guys.
Yes, I write to music.
Mm.
For Between Friends and Lovers, there was a lot of Rachel Chinoriri, who is a lot of kind of coming of age,
mm-hmm.
like messy love
yeah.
Vibes. For On Rotation,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank right now? Can I look at my phone?
Actually,
where is my phone?
Your bag,
hello, my life. Like, you're gonna see me scrambling for my phone because
that's okay.
Where did I even?
We're on your timeline. We're good. We don't have a panel until 4.
You might.
Oh my God, where did I put it? Okay, well, we'll figure it out later. But
I'll put it, it's probably in her link somewhere.
Yes,
I will put it
yes,
in places.
Yes. I know I listened to a lot of Florence, but it was a little bit more varied. There was Sebastian. What's his last name? I listened to him for a lot of Ricky's scenes.
Mm, that makes sense.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of messy male singers too.
Well, like Ricky's messy.
They're all messy. Ricky's very messy.
Yes.
Which I personally,
honestly, I love because a messy man is easier to idolize. That's real life, babes.
Well, no, I just think that like a lot of male leads in novels are. You catch them at the perfect time.
Yep.
Right? And, like, one of the
They're magically the right guy at the right time.
At the right time. There's alignment with timing. There's alignment with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
There's alignment in all of these ways. When I first wrote On Rotation, I had a Ricky's perspective as well. Right? And he was also growing
mm-hmm.
and also going through quite a lot. And the thing is, like, sometimes you meet the person who's meant for you
yeah.
at, like, not the right time.
No, and that's
yep.
the whole point of On Rotation.
I'm familiar with
right.
that.
Right, I feel like a lot of times you hear people's love stories, and yes, sometimes it's like immediately things go smoothly,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
but when we meet in real life, and we encounter each other like in...
There's complexity, there's depth.
Yes, yes. And sometimes,
I don't want it if there's not. You know what I mean?
Well,
I want there to be some growth together.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
yeah.
And proof that you can grow together.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Because if you're in it for the long haul, you got to go through all those phases.
Right, right. And the phases, I think what's important is, like, not necessarily that you hurt each other through those phases, right? Like, it's
yeah.
it's not that... One of the things that I try to make apparent with On Rotation is that they care about each other and care deeply about each
mm-hmm.
other from the beginning. And that
yeah.
part, I think, should not really be questioned. I think,
right, yeah.
I think they both show up for each other
right.
When it's needed. And what is questioned is, okay, like, but what in what context?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so Ricky being like, we're friends, is because Ricky doesn't want to think of himself as the kind of guy...
That would cheat.
Yeah.
He doesn't, even though he has these underlying feelings, and
yes.
it's very apparent, he is very attracted to this woman.
Yeah.
He's just like, no, I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
I just think she's cool. That's like, it.
And you made him flawed too, right?
Right.
Because in this book, he kept gaslighting her.
Right.
Like, I think that's used a lot in books, but he was straight up gaslighting her. He was
right.
constantly saying,
that's
"There's
not
nothing.
Happening.
There's not. That's not what. But dude, you're putting this out there.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Yes.
And that is real life.
Right.
That is how real life is. Real
right.
life is messy. Relationships aren't perfect. There is complexity. There is this problem and struggle, and sometimes things don't come out clean.
And I think that a lot of that, what I was trying to make happen is that a lot of that had nothing to do, Angie internalizes a lot of that as something
mm-hmm.
being wrong with her.
Yeah.
Right? That makes her unlovable.
Right,
right.
Right.
But that's
because,
not...
Because she grew up in a certain subset, right? And
right.
that's another whole part of your book is bringing in the Ghanaian history.
Right.
And the family, like, being American and being Ghanaian at the same time
mm-hmm.
and her trying to balance that was a world I wasn't acute to or knew anything about until this book, and I was like... God, that's a really tough struggle. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, all of my my West African immigrant girls
were
like, no, like you get it.
Yeah,
and because it's such a balance. And,
yeah, it is.
You know, she's all of these things, right? She has to uphold a certain image for her family, and then there's all of this. She has questions about her own desirability, and not even desirability, lovability. Like
right.
I start the book
right.
talking about how
she doesn't feel like anybody can love her.
They can sexualize her.
Yes, and
right.
her family sees her as a person, an entity,
right.
but she's not sure if that's love.
Right,
and.
I'm so invested in the conversation. I'm sorry. I'm not even doing my job anymore.
So,
I'm just listening.
So, like, the whole point of that, and that can go
sorry.
Into sexuality, too, right?
Right.
Because when people start questioning their sexuality, that is a thing people who are asexual go, do I just not feel love?
Right.
Am I not lovable?
Right.
And that is definitely something people go through. That is a real human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That is a real, like, mud shit show that people drag themselves through.
Right.
And you really do a good job of that because... It's difficult to do that without making the characters come out messy.
Right.
Destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Self-harming.
Mm-hmm.
You really kept a balance of her keeping her confidence and not going down into the mud.
Right.
In case you didn't get it, Molly really loved her.
I'm a writer, too, so I see it from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of, what did you cut out of these books that you miss?
Oh, my God. Okay, so the thing is, On Rotation has a scene that I... tried really hard to fight for.
Uh-huh.
And I had to take out because everyone, my editor and my agent were like, people, like, Angie already walks the line of likability, and if you keep that in there, they won't like her anymore.
Okay, and now I need to know.
Right? And I still, to this day, like, it's
you
the...
You think, you feel like
no,
it
I think it
would have
been, it should have been in there. And you know what? They're right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They are right. Right? Like,
but you're also right.
Yes. They are right from the perspective of those who don't get it will like her less.
Yes.
Right? But they were wrong from the perspective of her character.
Yeah,
right?
And her growth and her need.
And her growth and her need. And that scene is, spoilers for anybody who hasn't read it yet.
That's all the best to
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's spoiled. In the third act, Angie and Ricky have split up. Ricky's shown back up again. He's shown
right.
up with his peace lily.
Right.
Okay? And in the original version, she already knows when he shows up that she's going to turn him away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She already knows. She's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Right? But she loves the feeling. It's the first time in her life that somebody has actually been like, I love you.
Yeah.
Right? And that she believes them.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the first time in her life that she's been allowed to, like, feel those feelings.
Yeah.
And she is like, I don't really want to end this moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that scene, I was so mad at her.
Oh, because she's OD and I couldn't figure out another way to do it. Right?
No,
but,
like, she was definitely, like, spiraling.
Yes,
she
yes.
was out of her damn mind spiraling. And
yes.
you're like, girl. Like, I literally turned the podcast, the episode, the book off and I'm like, you've got to
be
shitting
me. Toss the
book,
toss the book.
You've got to be shitting me,
yes.
woman. What are you doing?
What are
your
you
life?
Doing?
Yeah.
Well, and I think that the way
and
I worked
like,
it out.
Like, if you're talking to a friend and, like,
yeah.
they're telling you, that's how this book feels. It's like your friend is, like, telling
shaking
you this
your
story.
Friend.
And you're like, why are you doing this to yourself?
I think that's one of my favorite things about, and which is why even when people don't like it, I'm like, you like it though, because you're mad.
Right, or you
like,
wouldn't be still talking about it.
You wouldn't still be
it's
talking
still
about
the
it.
See under your skin.
Yes.
So
it made
this,
you feel something.
Right, and that's
yeah.
the whole fucking point.
Yes.
That's the whole damn
there,
point.
There
game.
Are books that we have read that are terrible.
Right.
Twilight, for example. That whole series is trash. I still love it.
I love it. I eat it down.
I still
okay.
love it.
Twilight
okay,
girl.
Good. We've got a good
yes.
question
okay.
for you then.
Wait, let me finish.
Sorry.
Okay, like the original version. The original version, what actually happens in that scene is that Angie, Ricky comes over.
Right, and they do the thing.
And they do the things. They hook up. And Angie knows that she's not staying with him. And so he wakes up, he's super happy.
And she's like,
yeah, basically. she's like, so.
So, I'm glad last night.
Yeah.
I'm glad this was great. This was great.
She's like, and he's talking about, like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And she's like, ugh.
She
goes to take a shower. She's, like, being like, why did I do that?
I see why they cut it.
Right, exactly.
But you're also right.
Yeah.
But you're also right.
Because at that stage of her growth, she was like, why am I letting this guy treat me
but
like this?
But she's also defending herself. And
exactly.
But she needed that spiral, too, because we do that IRL.
Mm-hmm.
We feed that fuel. It doesn't matter if we're in an 18-year marriage, an 8-week relationship. You feel that fire.
Exactly.
You second-guess yourself, argue with yourself, and you blame that other person.
Exactly, exactly, to protect yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one of the scenes where I'm like, you know what, like they were right, but also, still wish I could have kept it. Yeah. But also, they were right, I would have been crucified.
they would have killed you.
Oh, I would have been killed.
You would have been killed.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. So, our Twilight question.
Yes.
We like to ask this of authors.
Sure.
Do vampires have sperm?
So this is
and
one
you're
of the
a
reasons why.
Too.
Yes, I'm not even gonna lie. When Breaking Dawn came out, that was one of the reasons why I stopped. Like I was just like,
fuck these bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, how is he capable of impregnating her?
He's literally dead.
Yes.
Like frozen, like
he's
granite.
He's cold.
Right. There's no blood flow.
Yes.
Like, how is that happening?
Where is the, like, I'm sorry, I did not realize he could have reproductive organs.
Right.
I was like, the level, the physiology you would need to make that happen.
And because he's, like, granite, is he just walking around with an erection all the time?
I know,
like,
right?
Is there
just a reservoir? Is it just like, swoosh,
swoosh, so my favorite answer, my favorite answer is from an author, Emma Berry.
Uh-huh.
She says he had one in the chamber.
That's what we said, too. Emma Berry is a good friend of mine. We actually live very close to each other in Virginia. And we met her. We did a book launch for her.
Uh-huh.
And she's phenomenal. And I made it my mission to be her friend because her best friend is Olivia Dade, who I am absolutely obsessed with.
Yeah.
Like, uncomfortably so. I think I made her really uncomfortable when we had her on the pod. I was like, but also, that scene you wrote! And she was just like, okay, calm down. But I'm so much closer to now being in her inner circle because I am friends with her best friend.
So, pantser or plotter?
Ooh, former pantser, current plotter.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the more books you put out, the more they want structure.
Yeah.
You're on deadline.
Yep.
I can't be out here writing $100,000.
So you're on deadline and doing rotations at a hospital.
Now I have an office. I have a clinic. I have all the things.
So you like have like patients in her grown up and shit,
yeah.
And then just like in your face.
She's
you're
a
like,
whole doctor. Like a whole doctor.
I'm trying to process it. I literally have to take a pod break so I can write over the summer.
Well, I can't do pod over the summer either because I'm a children's librarian.
Yeah.
And summers are busy.
That's what it's.
Yeah.
It was really
thank
hard
you for being here.
I was gonna say thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But it was actually really hard for me to get off. My
I'm
boss
sure.
was kind of like, when are you going? I was like, I'll be going this day to this day. And she was like, okay, so can you still come back on Tuesday and do story time? And
ooh.
I was like, I'll do it. So we have to drive back to Virginia on Monday, and I have to go back to work and do two programs on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
I go from the little guys doing story time to the teens.
She's a rock star.
I do it all.
That's very cool.
I've been
though.
A children's librarian since 2011 is when
I finished my degree.
So
you have been through it too.
Yes.
She went from teaching. She did English teaching.
Oh, so you were already.
Well, it's different because I taught high school.
Okay.
And then what I really fell in love with in grad school was early literacy.
Mm.
I originally went to grad school because I was a teacher at a school for the performing and visual arts.
Oh, very
we
cool.
had we were also
in
a
Florida.
Neighborhood in Florida, and it was also a neighborhood school for the project housing.
Okay.
And so we had a very diverse population of students. There were classes that I was the only white person in the room, and then there were classes that were just full of all these queer white kids. Like, it was just such a weird mix of people. And my students would be like, where can I find a book that has me in it? And I was like, it doesn't exist. Because this is early 2000s.
Right. When publishing wasn't even...
No.
Yeah.
At the time, it was something like 90% of kids' books
right.
featured characters that were not even human.
Yeah.
But then when they were, that 10%, right. the majority of that 10% were white male.
Yep.
And if you wanted, if you were a little girl that liked dinosaurs, there were not books for you.
Wow.
So I went to library school to advocate for diverse books for kids, and I will die on that hill.
That's amazing.
Is a hill I am proud to die on.
Yeah.
And that is what I love, is seeing my kids who come to the library finding books where they see themselves, but also I'm raising two white boys, yeah. and I like them knowing that there are people that don't look like them in the world.
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
that's kind of how I became a...
Windows and mirrors.
Windows and mirrors.
Windows and mirrors.
That's what we say in the library world.
Windows and mirrors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you think is going to be the book of the summer, in your opinion?
Oh my God, please don't ask me that. My
okay,
brain
I didn't,
is like...
I didn't. Oh, moving on.
It's really going to depend on the genre.
So, I know.
Because right now, Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman is having a huge...
Moment.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
I'm going paranormal.
Yes!
summer 2026.
Okay.
I have a book coming out. It features a 38-year-old interventional cardiologist who goes to her best friend's ex-husband's wedding.
Okay.
To
a choice.
24-year-old.
Whoa.
Device rep that he works with. She goes because She goes because her goddaughter is there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
her mom is like, can you just please?
Yeah.
Just someone there to support. The
yes,
kid.
Exactly. Someone yeah. there to support the kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. While she is there, she meets a young man. He is 27. Mm. Who is very alluring, very much chasing
yes,
after
cougars.
Her, right? Exactly. And she slowly starts to kind of get charmed by him. He's very, like, you know, but there's something sinister, something off.
Of course there is.
I love a good murder mystery.
Paranormal romance is my sweet spot.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I'm a fan.
I, if you haven't figured it out already, like, none of my books really fit really neatly in a genre.
No,
like,
and I think that's the point.
But I think because your publisher is Avon, people are going to assume
that it's
romance.
Well, so I was actually acquired for On Rotation by William Morrow.
Really?
And then they switched me over to Avon because I think they were trying to make general fiction and women's fiction more of a thing.
Yeah.
And then I ended up staying there for my second book. I'm going to Viking.
Nice.
For my third book.
Yes.
Which I think will be interesting because since I am kind of like I feel like someone who doesn't read romance could read On Rotation and think it's a romance.
Yes.
Right? But someone who reads romance is like, this is not a romance.
It's not romance.
Right. It's not, right? It's like
it's
a coming
story.
Of age. Right,
it's
exactly.
A story.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. That's because if it's written by a woman, it either has to be romance or romanticy.
And if the cover has a little bit of cartoon.
Or
right.
women's fiction.
Right.
Which, why the fuck is there women's fiction? But there's not men's fiction.
Right. That's why I sometimes will just call it general fiction out of sight.
Yeah. I say fiction.
Yes.
Fiction.
Yes.
I like fiction.
Fiction.
So I don't read a lot of nonfiction.
No, me neither. I have to escape. So if we're going to categorize book three, it is. I call it like paranormal romance as a shorthand. Oh, you can hold it for me. Oh, thank you. But like we are messing around with how to, because they're like, it's a little bit speculative. It's a little bit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
where
it's really
lines?
Fun.
We'll take it.
It's fun.
And that comes out next summer.
Next summer. Mm. Next summer.
When it can be pre-ordered, I'm here for that.
Listen, you will know.
Good. I love to hear it. What else? Who are you excited to meet here?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so Roseanne Brown. She wrote a song of oh my God, is my brain completely going kaput right now?
You've had travel nightmares.
Yes, I haven't slept. That is why it's happening. I can see it in my oh my god.
Slept.
It's not because Ice and Fire is J.R.R. Martin.
I was gonna have Katie Google it, but
yes, and my phone is somewhere right now. Regardless, she's one of my friends.
Yeah,
And we've been friends for like a long time. We actually met because I read her books and I was obsessed with them, and I drew her fan art. Right?
That's awesome.
I drew her fan art, and she was like, "Oh my God, this fan art is really cool."
You're multi-talented.
And then this was before On Rotation came out, so I wasn't yet an author, mm-hmm. right? Or I was, but I was like, you know. Undercover.
So once, over time, we've
kept in touch, and so we're finally going to get to meet.
Right.
I have another friend, Ahibor Okosan, who's also
we're doing a panel with her at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Oh my God, thank you for saying her name, because I need to make sure I can say it correctly, and I've been practicing, and I want to make sure I get it right.
Yeah, so. she goes by Ehi.
She's lovely. I loved her book, Forged by Blood.
Oh my God.
It was so good. And I have the second book, and I have the audiobook version. I listened to the audiobook for it.
Is it Wrath and Ruins? Is it a song of Wrath and Ruins? Okay.
That actually sounds like, I think I know
right.
it.
That sounds right. Yeah. It's a beautiful, like, emerald
cover. I love that you turned to me like we're besties, and I know what you're thinking already.
It's fine. I was like, not me jumping a topic. Okay, yes.
No, it's okay. We knew that, if you couldn't tell.
Yes.
No, I really loved her book, Forged by Blood. It was really good.
It's so good.
She's on the Romantasy-esque panel, but I'll be honest with you, I don't consider her book or Andrea Stewart's Romantasy.
No.
Now, the other book on there, Never the Roses, is Romantasy, but I actually have a question to ask them how they feel being listed as Romantasy, because I think it's just because they're women writing fantasy, so they kind of got lumped in there.
It's a marketing strategy. Right now, they want to label everything as romance or Romantasy because it's what sells the most,
right?
Instead of,
part two cover.
Exactly.
It'll make money.
Exactly. And, like, I have a lot of feelings about that, quite honestly, because I sometimes feel like you lose your actual audience.
I think we're
going
to do a full episode with you, babe.
Oh, yeah, we probably
would love it.
Are we still going?
We're still going. If you're good, we're good.
I'm using all your time.
No, you're not. You are our last interview before our panel. We don't have anything else. We're just going to go make content.
No, but we're going to
be those people that are like influencers making content. I feel so stupid doing that. I'm 43.
Yeah.
What kind of 43-year-old makes book content?
Who cares, girl?
Obviously, we do.
We're alive.
I'm going.
You know what I'm doing in a month? I'm a whole grown woman.
Yes,
I have commissioned a cosplay.
Yes.
Yes. I am a cosplayer.
You are? Oh my God! Stop.
We did Awesome Con. I was dressed as Kaylee Fry from Firefly.
Oh my God, that's amazing! I'm gonna be Drolta from Castlevania in like a month.
Oh yeah, so I went to Awesome Con and just handed out Book Besties flyers.
Oh, that's so smart.
I've been trying to convince him that we should cosplay as Sheldon and Amy from Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely.
He's not tall enough, but it would be great because Amy's a whole vibe, and I feel it.
So what have you?
He's
been
weird,
reading?
Like Sheldon.
Okay, so I just finished Can't Get Enough of Kennedy Ryan, which I was obsessed with.
She's amazing.
There's 32 Days in May by Betty Carrello, also obsessed with. Oh my God, Lucky Seed by Justinian Juan.
It's
coming out in November.
Mm-hmm. I heard it's good.
It is nuts. It is so good.
I heard it's complex and deep.
It's like, and hilarious and weird. I think it's a lot like Knives Out.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I
heard.
Queer Asian Knives Out.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's a good description right there. They should put that on the cover.
That's the pocket. You guys can put that on the jacket.
I think they comped it to something else, and I texted him. I was like, they should comp this to Knives Out. It's like literally so good.
Yeah.
The family intrigue.
I love that.
And he's so sharp. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah, it's good.
His voice is so sharp. It's so witty. It's so incisive.
Yeah.
And it sometimes borderlines on absurd. So it's like also really funny.
Yeah.
We love authors when authors are fans too.
Yes.
And readers.
To be a reader to be an author.
Yeah, you do.
You become a better writer.
Yep.
Right.
When you've read.
Yes.
My writing has strengthened you so much since we've started the pod in general.
And I read as a consumer because I'm a librarian. So I'm reading because of what I think people will enjoy on our shelves.
Mm.
Molly approaches things more as an author.
Tear them down. It just depends on the book.
Yeah, right. there are times we won't agree because she'll be like, well, I feel like this was an editor's choice. And I'm like, I don't care. It was in the book.
But it is.
It doesn't matter to me if the author or the editor made the choice.
There's times where that battle comes down and the publisher is gonna side with the editor.
Yeah, but she's sharpened my edges on that because I have been able to see books where I'm like, I feel like this needed the editor to push a little harder for this.
Mm. Yeah.
But this is a good lineup here in Columbus. There's a lot of amazing authors.
Incredible authors.
So your panel's coming up, right?
Yes. Don't ask me who's on it.
No, it's okay. So what do you plan to talk about?
Can I be fully honest with you?
Please.
Okay. I had clinic all day Friday.
Oh, girl, your brain is
potato. I worked all through last week. I was on service last week.
So you worked all last week.
I got on a plane.
I cleaned.
Friday I finished clinic. I also had an extra long day. Mm-hmm. I immediately went to the airport. My flight debacles happened.
Yeah.
I have no idea where I'm supposed to be at any time. I just have a calendar.
That's me.
It tells me when I need
schedule.
To be.
Yeah.
You don't that's why my phone has to be here somewhere, because if it's gone, I have no idea where
just
I'm
going. Just go to the office lounge and just stand there, and they'll just like
help
direct
me.
You.
I have a red tag.
So they're going to ask me questions, up, yeah. And I'm going to answer them
yeah.
on that
like,
panel.
Like that's uh-huh. like going
and
on
I'll
right now.
It. Uh-huh. That's what's happening.
Well, listen, you were a great interview, so I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think you'll be able to do it.
We had a great time with you.
Yes, this is so fun.
And you are now an honorary book bestie.
Yay!
You're in.
You
you're
should
in.
Come back. Maybe we'll cover the new book.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I would love to. It would be so fun.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're one of us now.
Yeah.
Yes. One of us. Well, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank
we
you
will
so
see
much.
You next time.
Yeah.
See you next time. Goodbye, book
bestie. Bye. Anderson, they go by E, and we're going to talk about their newest book, The Keeper of Lonely Spirits, which I read recently.
Yes.
So, awesome. Yeah, this yeah. is your second book, correct?
My second book, yes.
And how does it feel to be two in?
Pretty good. It's good to have, you know, it's good to have, like, ongoing career for now, so,
yeah.
so that feels good.
Yeah.
It's so, validating
yeah.
to so, be published.
Yeah.
So you also have a range of short stories on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Where should readers start with you?
So I do recommend they start with The Keeper of Lonely Spirits just because that's like the most me book that I've written so far.
Yeah.
It's very clear. It's very like neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it has like lots of birds and it's set in Ohio and it's very me.
It is set in Ohio.
It is set in Ohio.
In Northwest Ohio.
In Northwest Ohio. I love it there. I'm from Michigan, so I'm not supposed to. So I feel like my endorsement of Northwest Ohio should mean something.
I'll forgive you for being from Michigan.
I know.
I don't care. I'm a New Yorker. We don't care about anything.
Cool. All right. Good. But if you are looking for something shorter to dip a toe in, my short stories are all currently, like, name your price on Itch.io.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to, like, test that out first, I think they're all very different, but they do all have a lot of, like, I write similar themes over and over and over again. So I feel like you can start pretty much anywhere and get a general feeling.
Yeah. Do you prefer writing the shorter, or do you like the longer form?
It's very hard for me to stay that short.
Yeah.
So that's seriously, keeping under that word count for a short story is rough.
Yeah, and actually two of them on there, one's like 12,000 words and one's like 8,500 words. So like, you know, short is like a relative term.
Well, so that's where we differ, because I originally went to school for journalism. I ended up switching my major because I entered Bowling Green in 2000 when every media was like, the internet exists, we don't exist anymore. But I can write shorter format. So I've sat down to write one book and it has remained unfinished. I have about maybe half of it done. I know how it will end. Haven't picked it up in 12 years.
Well, sometimes that's how it
goes. Not going to happen. But The Keeper of the Lonely Spirits, what genre would you call it?
I call it cozy fantasy.
Okay, I can get behind
yeah.
that. When I first read the premise, I was wondering if it was going to be more, like, scary. And there are, like, scary elements to it.
Yeah.
Like, for me, who's not a fan of horror, I was a little worried I was not going to enjoy it. But I ended up really enjoying the book.
Yes.
The main character, like, I kept picturing my grandpa. I know he's Irish and my grandpa's Hungarian.
I mean, my grandpa was German, but that's literally who I physically, aside from his eye color, that's who he's physically based on.
Yeah.
So, cool. I like to hear
that.
There's,
like, actually. That old man
yeah.
vibe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's grandpa. Old man vibe.
A little bit of a reluctant grandpa, but he is grandpa.
I mean, that's most grandfathers. They don't want to be grandpa.
I don't know. My grandpa was like very grandpa.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, my grandpa.
Yeah, the main character of the book definitely is like, no, stop adopting me as a grandfather. What are you doing?
He's like coward, the courage, the cowardly dog.
Lion.
Like
yeah,
grandpa in there. Like he's like that.
Oh,
gotcha. He's like, stay away from me,
Tom.
He is my husband, even though my husband is only in his 40s. He is my husband. The range of your fantasy world building, it's really fascinating. So you have kind of everything within your fantasy realm. Keeper of the Lonely Spirits really focuses more on ghosts, spirits, I don't... No, you would say, ghost or would you say spirits?
I'm pretty sure I used both in the book, so like, dealer's choice.
It's like unsettled spirits, right?
Yes. And they don't take like corporeal form for the most part, so I guess it depends on whether you think of that as like pertaining more to ghosts or spirits.
So is there a fantasy element that you'd like to try next? that you haven't touched on?
Not really, just because if I want to try something, I just try it.
is some brave author
coming in right there.
I don't, it's true, I don't have, like, a wish list of things I really want to try. Like, okay, like, this is extremely... like characteristic of me that over the holidays I read Mexican Gothic because I love
Gothic.
Oh my
god, that
book. It was so good. And I read it.
So many mushrooms.
I read it and I was like, man, I'd really like to write a Gothic novel someday. And then I started one on the train ride home. So like, that's pretty characteristic.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to try it, there is no someday. It just happens.
That's a really nice.
Yeah. So I mean, this book. The Keeper of Lonely Spirits, I started writing it and I was like, wow, I don't think I'm a good enough writer to write this book yet. And I set it aside for like a few months while I wrote something else. And then I came back to it and I was like, only one way to find out. And I just wrote it anyway. So,
and if you're a fan, to our viewers, if you are a fan of Found Family, the vibes for Found Family are fully in this book. I really... and a very diverse cast of characters, too.
I love Found Family.
I don't just mean, like, racially diverse, although there is ethnicity diversity as well, but there's also queer representation. There's non-binary representation, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just so much representation that really fills out a Found Family. I don't want to... I hope this is okay, but if you are a fan of T.J. Klune, you need to read E.
That is one of our comps that the publisher
Perfect.
Uses, so yep.
I've read everything T.J. Klune has put out, and I love him.
Yeah.
He's a huge author for me.
Yeah.
And that's the vibes of Keeper of Lonely Spirits. I almost said Lovely Spirits.
I get that, yeah.
Some of them are lovely spirits.
They
and
are.
And then some of them are asshole spirits. And
yeah.
It just depends on which spirit it is.
It depends on who it is.
Yeah.
So
not
who
for
are
everyone.
You reading right now?
So I'm actually finishing an arc of Brittany S. Lewis's Blood Moon, which comes out in September.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Yeah, so it's like for fans of like The Vampire Diaries, Legendborn, and I think True Blood.
Is it YA?
It's new adult.
New adult.
So it's new
gotcha.
Adult. So she's like going off to college, and then finds herself trapped amidst a war between like you know
as
supernaturals.
One does.
Yeah,
as it happens.
Yeah.
You know.
So I've been so excited for this book, and then I said something on social media about being excited for it, and then one of my friends slid into my DMs like, "Hey, do you want an arc? I have one, and I want people to talk about this book with."
Mm-hmm.
So she sent me a copy, and I'm like most of the way done with it. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's fantastic so far. So Blood Moon, I don't remember the exact release date, but it comes out in September. Brittany S. Lewis. Pre-order it, add it to your TBR.
I'm definitely going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love getting arcs. And we actually had this conversation with another author who sent us physical arcs because I feel like it's lost that.
It has.
So many people want e-arcs, but.
Well, and publishers are focusing on e-arcs
well,
as well because
they're cheaper. Right.
This was a print arc, which is cool because if I get an e-arc, I'm like, oh, I really want to read this, but I just cannot focus on an e-book.
It's harder for me to read an e-book.
Yeah.
I'm not a Kindle reader.
No.
I read physical books and audiobooks. I don't think there's
even
anything wrong.
Even audiobooks can be a little hard for like which I know is different.
I'm an audiobook queen.
I was gonna say I feel like most of my friends with ADHD are the opposite, where they're like I have to
listen
to an audiobook.
Yeah. It's the audiobook helps me do the things right. I put the audiobook in and I do the dishes. I do the laundry. It's part of the multitasking.
I listened to my own audiobook by painting a room in the house.
Yes,
and that's how I
have
to
because
the audiobook for Keeper of the
Yes.
Oh my gosh, your narrator is fantastic.
He's so good. David Sweeney Bear, I have to like name drop him.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Because I have to be multitasking.
So
the ADHD requires it.
Yes.
Like, I can't just sit. Well, I'm also dyslexic and dysgraphic. So
okay,
sitting
see,
down,
I don't have that.
So sitting down to physically read is difficult for me in general.
I think it's just because I'm flipping pages. I can do it. But I think the hard part for me is like actually getting myself to sit down. Like, once I sit down with a book, we're in. I can read a book in one sitting if it's not, like, super long. But like, getting myself to sit down, that's been the real struggle for me. I listened to my own audiobook, but only because, not only because, I wanted to listen to it and see what my words sounded like with someone else narrating. But, like, I was painting the dormer in my house, and I was like, perfect! And it was perfect, because I didn't really have to think about painting, except for the one time where I did paint over a wall I'd already painted white with, like, a dark color, and I was like, oh, no! So,
dang it!
So I stopped thinking a little too much.
I shut my brain off too
A
far.
Little too much, but yeah, that is how I listened to my audiobook, and also The Adventures of Dog Man is narrated by my 7-year-old nephew.
That's amazing.
That's what else I listened to while I was painting.
That's awesome.
I love that.
He kept FaceTiming me and being like, I'm going to read you Dog Man. And I was
Please do, buddy.
Yeah.
Always, love it. Always FaceTime the aunties to read.
Yeah. I think he doesn't understand, though. That was like Easter break. Well, we use Tia because they're like Latino.
Yeah.
So, but that was during Easter break. And now that he's on summer break, I don't think he understands that like adults don't get summer break. So like I do work at a university, so like I have like half days on Fridays, but that's it. I'm like, but I'm at work. We can't FaceTime. You can message me, but like we can't FaceTime because I'm at work.
FaceTime
I'm an adult.
You're just gonna get really long audio messages.
I actually did start getting a bunch of audio, very short ones, but like a bunch of them. And I was like, all right, that's close enough. It's fine.
All right. So something I want to talk about from your book is the importance of names.
Yes.
So can you touch on that a little bit? Why was that so important to include in this?
Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't read the book, there's kind of two things with names. One is that if you know a spirit's name, it gives you like a certain amount of power over them. Like not a lot, but if they're like causing nonsense and shenanigans, you can kind of get their attention for a second and sort of keep them grounded. And then the main character, like people just don't know his name. And actually for most of the narration, he's just the groundskeeper. He's not Peter. Mm-hmm. So for me, just names have always felt like very intimate. Like my partner and I don't have pet names for each other. We just use like our full names on each other, even though most of the time we don't go by our full names at all. Because that's just very intimate to me.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because, like, I think before I realized I was genderqueer, I had, like, a weird relationship with my name, and I think that it was, like, a gender thing, but
yeah.
I didn't know that. So I was just like, you know, names are just very intimate. And that is still...
I understand that.
Yeah, that
completely.
Is... That is still a thing for me.
Came out as bi in my late 30s.
Yeah,
married to a man already.
Yeah, so it's, you know... So I think, so that's part of it for me. But the name use in this book, I will never do it again because this is a really pain in the ass to do this way. But basically he's the groundskeeper until he is like connecting with people and then he's Peter. And I love when readers pick up on that. Although I also love when readers don't notice it at all because then I'm like, good, it's not all clunky and awkward. It's
right. I didn't find it clunky and awkward at all.
Yeah.
Actually, the part that I was like really taken aback, without spoilers, there's a part where a mom has let her kids be with him, and she doesn't know his name, and I was like, the audacity! Like, my kids would not go anywhere with people they didn't know the name, we didn't know the name of.
Right, because people just don't realize that they don't know his name.
He's a calming presence.
Yeah,
he's really somebody that you immediately gravitate towards.
Yeah.
So the name wasn't the essential thing for them.
Right.
It's
so,
not
yeah.
important.
Yeah.
They know him,
yes.
and not necessarily.
Yes, and he actually has that kind of realization throughout the book where, like, he doesn't give people his name because he doesn't want people to have power over him because he doesn't want to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, like, later in the book, he's like, I've been connecting with people anyway, so maybe it's not the name that's, like, doing
so
that actually.
So Ron detected Swanson.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Like, yeah.
So are you a pantser or a plotter?
I am a dedicated plantser, and whether I lean more
that
pantsing or plotting,
me, yeah.
It depends on the book which way I lean more. So my debut was more heavily pantsed with a little bit of planning.
Yeah.
And then this one I started writing and I got 30 pages into it and I was like, yeah, I can't do that with this book.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and did a lot more plotting, but I still had, like I had, like I actually wrote a synopsis for it before I drafted it for real.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to the climax and I was like, shoot, I don't know how the climax needs to happen. But I was like, aha, I have a synopsis. So I went back to it and my synopsis said, somehow the climax happens. And I was like, cool. Great,
past
that's so
E
helpful.
Did not help current.
Yeah.
I do tabs. I do little dots. When
see,
I always feel like
plotting ends up being such a scam for me because there's always something like that could have helped me, but I couldn't, like there are just some things you didn't know
at that time what needed to go there. So how am I supposed to plan for something I don't know I'm going to plan?
And I can't, there are some things I just cannot figure out until
it's
I'm writing
stressful.
The book. So I just have to figure it out.
So journalists do not write like that at all. Like, it is detailed, planned out, because you start with the most important information and work your way down. It stresses me out to think of just pantsing. And, like, as a former English teacher, I would be like, no, you have to outline. And my students would be like,
I always hated that
why?
In class. You know what? Sometimes I would write a draft, and then I would do the outline and turn that in, because
that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do. You have to get the credit.
Yeah.
But you,
right. But
you
I'm like, this is just not the way my brain works.
No,
I can't.
It's fair.
Yeah.
No. What was rough for me is, with the dysgraphia and dyslexia, they go, you need to edit this. And I go, it is edited. I don't see what's...
Points
you know,
things
it
out
me.
To
I'll
me.
Take,
yeah.
I'll
yeah.
take it over.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
no
yeah,
worries.
Yeah, yeah. So are there any authors you're really excited to see here?
Yeah, I actually already met them, which is awesome.
That's so amazing.
I love being here as an author. I was definitely, like, when the author, like, list released, I was like, okay, who can I go get a book signed by?
Yes. Because we're readers, too, as writers.
So Mia P. Menonsala, who is here for, like, a YA book, but
she's the one that had the purse that was painted? Was that her?
No, that was Kate Fussner.
Oh, I just bought her book.
Okay, cool.
Because I talked to her last night. Yeah, I was like, I need this book in my life.
Yeah. No, so she wrote the Tita Rosie's Kitchen Mysteries. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the main character, like, goes home to her small town after, like, a bad breakup.
It's super cozy mystery.
And it's so good. So I was like, all right, awesome. So I got to talk to her last night and also be like, pretty please, can I have you sign my book tomorrow that I brought from home? And then Rosanne A. Brown, who I think is here for a middle grades book that she wrote, but I brought my copy of A Song of Rapes and Ruin.
Nice.
Which is, like, from... I want to say several years ago now, but it's probably longer than that. It's, like, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Time has no meaning. But but I really loved that book, and so I also, like, met her last night, and I was like, could I possibly bother you for a signature tomorrow? So I was just going around finding authors I was excited about to be like, can I, pretty please? And then I met some authors from my debut year 2023 that I like we've chatted on like Slack and stuff, but like we're meeting for the first time.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So it's been a good time.
So can you speak on your research a little bit, and was there like a favorite fun fact when you were planning out this book?
So this is also very characteristic of me. So for this book, The Keeper of Lonely Spirits is set in Northwest Ohio. I live in Northwest Ohio. Mm-hmm. But it takes place starting in, like, late April, and I started drafting it in, like, February. So I did a bunch of research into, like, when certain trees leafed out and when certain flowers were in bloom. So I have, like, spreadsheets of trees and flowers. And and then I don't even know why I looked up facts about trees.
I love this so much.
I did not need any facts about the trees.
The research spirals that you go into as an author, I have so much.
And it's only silly stuff like that. It's never.
Do you know how much knowledge I have about bootlegging in 1923 in Vermont?
Is it like for one line? Because that's usually what I do the most research for.
The premise of the book I was writing, which got shelved, was she is an immigrant who is working for bootleggers who made a bootlegging hotel in northern Vermont, like near the border, and like New Yorkers would go there, right? But the bootlegging was only like this much of the book, right? But I just went
the part you tend to research the most, that is the part that's like the, like, one little section.
Right, because that is something that was really important to those people back then, right? It's a part of the Vermont history. So when I reached out to the Vermont Historical Society, because I wanted to know more, they sent me packets like this. And they were sending me book suggestions and writers, and I was just like,
cool,
this is my life now. I'm a bootlegger from Vermont.
All I needed was, like, when trees leafed out, but for whatever reason, I also just, like, learned a bunch of facts about the trees. Yeah. So I think my favorite was, like, the black walnut, like, puts a toxin into the soil to, like, discourage competition, but it's not water-soluble, so it stays in, like, one spot. Mm. But...
Fun facts.
But... probably because it's not water-soluble, if you take the tree out, it's years before it dissipates and you can plant other stuff there. And that's just very metal of this tree.
Yeah.
Black walnut trees.
That tree is like, fuck everyone else.
Yeah, so
This is my land now.
I was like, this is really cool. And so, like, I did not need to know that. That's not in the book at all.
So
but I know it forever, and I don't even know why
you
I know it.
You could win Jeopardy with it. I could win Jeopardy. You have imparted knowledge on us.
I really know. I've taught you. There is. My work here is done.
So what's next for you?
So I have another book out next July. It's currently titled The Lord of the Wood, and as long as the sales team or anyone doesn't say no, that's no good, then that's the title.
So very valid response from an author.
That was supposed to be cozy fantasy, and now it's edging more into cozy horror, so I think we're calling it cozy horror.
I'm here for cozy horror.
John Wiswell's book, The Someone You Can Build a Nest In, that's like the book that taught me what I'm not a horror person either.
So
I would see people talk about cozy horror, and I was like, those two words don't go together for me.
They do. But
have fun, you know, that's not my genre, whatever.
But it perfectly matches up.
And then, and then I read that book, and I was like, oh.
You get it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this clicked. So like, there were things that were happening in the book where I would leave comments for my editor, like, can this happen? And it's still cozy, asking for a friend. And my editor was like, I think it's like cozy horror now, so we'll just, you know. And I was like, cool. So it's like vaguely Beauty and the Beast inspired. Some spots you can tell you're like, that part's Beauty and the Beast inspired, but like as a whole you're more like, I can see why it's inspired and not like a retelling. I usually, there's like one Tumblr thing where it's like a picture from the ballroom scene, but like Maurice has been photoshopped into the yellow ball gown, and it says Beauty and Maurice, and that's what I've been using to advertise it before I could talk about it. I'm just like, there's no context spoilers for next book. It is a younger main character for me. He's only 43, which is practically a little baby by my standards. And he is, like, autistic, and he deeply does not know he's gay. And he's, like, weird that I've just never found the right girl, despite dreaming of romance. And I think at some point he says that to his love interest, and his love interest is just looking at him like, the right
girl?
The right girl. The right that does not compute.
Does math
yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah. So we're...
I think I know the problem.
Yeah. So we're...
I've actually been through this.
And it's actually dual POV, but with his sister. So she gets, like, less page time, but she's... And she's bisexual and very aware of it, but because of, like, the sort of pseudo-historical time period it's in, she's, like, really, like, repressed about it and, like, no. I was married to a man, so it's okay.
The 90s.
I was so small in the 90s. I didn't know. I didn't know shit in the 90s. I didn't know anything in the 90s.
We're old.
I'm obviously old at heart, and that's why I keep writing, like, 70s and 80s.
80-year-old men.
Like, the thing I just started has, like, a 60-year-old very grumpy lesbian, so, like, hopefully...
I love a grumpy lesbian,
me
though.
Me too. So grumpy lesbians are
grumpy lesbians are the Canadian geese of the world, and I love them.
I love it.
If you met a grumpy lesbian, you'd understand.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he's very, like, young for me, but still, like, older than 25. So we just started talking cover things for that, so I'm very excited to see what we come up with for a cover. No links
very
yet, nowhere
exciting.
To send anybody, but it'll come out next July, so just, like, keep up on my socials, and eventually you'll see, you know.
Follow them on social media. On Instagram, you're the most active, correct?
Blue Sky, I'm the most
Blue
active.
Sky, sorry.
Although my phone did log me out, and I cannot log back in. So now I only get on in the evening when I'm on my laptop, but I am still the most active there because I will post 1,000 things. We're on Instagram, I'm like maybe a couple stories.
And then you also have a website. So
I do also have a website.
We can go to the website, too.
And it is all, it's elizmanderson.com, and then that's my handle on socials is elizmanderson.
And they're tagged in a lot of our stuff, so you can find them that way as well.
Yep.
Because I'm into this. I want to read this book. And so I'm not a horror fan, but the first horror book that I read with Molly that I actually really enjoy was Grady Hendrix.
Okay.
Because he brought
so much humor
into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are parts that are not cozy.
Like, right, sure.
I was really uncomfortable.
It'll be one of those books where I'm like, I cannot read this before bed. I got to read it in the light of day.
How to Sell a Haunted House is it's family, but it's also horror.
Dysfunctional family.
It's dysfunctional family, right? And there's, like, a lot of sadness, but there's also a lot of humor, and you're like, why am I laughing about this creepy-ass little fucking
And there's,
right
like,
now?
Lots of family secrets, too. But he brings so much humor into his writing that, like, I was able to read a horror book and actually enjoy it. Because normally, I'm like,
I know,
the world is scary enough.
We get vetoes, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll put them on the list, and she'll be like, veto.
Nope.
Veto.
No. I'm not reading
that.
Anything with an exorcist,
when I first said we're going to read Mexican Gothic, I was like, I want to do spooky season.
Oh, see, I can do Gothic, though.
Mexican Gothic is really good.
I can do Gothic horror. That's
but, like, that, I was like, that's as scary as I'm putting on here for you.
Like, I worked up to it. Now we're going to do Riley Sager and Grady Hendrix again.
I made her read
coming season.
Karen Slaughter, mm-hmm. and that's really, like...
I hated that book so much.
I mean, it's
there was too much discussion of bodily fluid for my taste.
I am very, like, very occasionally, because I love going to the movies, and very occasionally I'll see, like, a preview for a horror movie, and I'm like, I kind of want to see that one, and then I DM my best friend, and I'm like, will you come see this movie with me? Because I just need to go see it with somebody, and we're going to go to a matinee.
I need an emotional support human.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, we get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to tell our listeners, or what are you doing today? You got...
I have author speed matching, I think, at 1:00, and then a signing to follow that.
Yay.
So that one I probably will pull out my phone and look at my notes, because I had the opportunity to do something similar in October, and I only had 3 minutes, and that was too long to pitch my book. So this time I came up with talking points, because I think I have 5 to 10 minutes, and I was like, I'm going to run out of stuff to say, and I'll just talk about the biggest week in American birding, which I was bound to talk about on here.
Yeah.
Which is the first 2 weeks of May, warblers come through Northwest Ohio. That I won't derail the whole podcast.
No, talk about the warblers. We love it.
36 different species of warblers that you can see all at once in Northwest Ohio. People come from around the country and around the world to see them. They're beautiful little songbirds. It's great. It's name dropped in the book because The Keeper of Lonely Spirits partially takes place at that time of year, and one of the characters likes birding. So that was like my own self-indulgent thing to put in the book. And now I'm like, I can talk about this, and it's marketing.
Exactly.
Even if I don't talk about the book at all.
It's so smart.
Did you hear that, autistic friends? All you gotta do is put your hyperfixation in the book, and then you can talk about it.
And then maybe the next book you just changed my writing for me.
I don't think you realized that.
You're welcome. I do. I still have to, like, work pole fitness into one somewhere. I, like, have to have a character who's into it. I don't know. Yeah, it's
maybe a cozy bromance.
I recently got back. Okay, I recently got back to playing the recorder, and I know my partner's having the recorder parent experience with no children, because I'm like, woohoo! My cat hates it. My cat. I will start playing the recorder if my partner's home. My cat will go complain to him, like, make her stop, please. And then my partner ignores him and is like, no, it's fine. She'll be done in a few minutes. So I recently got back into that. So now one of the characters in my next book, like she can't so much anymore because she's disabled and she gets, like, winded easily. But, like, she used to play the whistle. Like, I'm like, that's her thing now, because I was just
like, I like my recorder.
I have my recorder. Yeah, so I do. I just, like, throw things in there. I'm like, now this is marketing.
I love it.
You know?
Yeah, I love it. Embrace who you are, baby.
Well, thank you so much for coming
on your time today. Thanks so much for
inviting me. You are a great guest. Like, this was a great conversation. I loved meeting you last night, too.
We had a great conversation last night. When I just looked up, I was like, oh, it's you guys.
And then went back to my, you know, whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to sign off now. We will be back at 1 o'clock to talk to Charlene Obiobu. I don't actually know how to say her last name. I'm really sorry, Charlene. We will make sure we say it correctly when we interview her. But thank you again, E. Yes. Have a great festival. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Why is that blanked? I don't get it.
I guess we should, like, actually properly introduce what we're doing.
Bessie
Molly. We're here with Matt Dinneman, author of the incredible Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
Oh my god, guy.
But when I first read Dungeon Crawler Carl, we didn't see you on our TikTok.
No.
And I was like, Molly, no, we need to do this book for the podcast. And she's like, I haven't seen it. And then, like, a week later, it was everywhere. And I was like, wow.
That's, like, awesome.
It is.
How does it feel?
Yeah.
So first off, Magic Kingdom for Sale sold is one of the greatest books of all time.
Disagree.
Thank you very much.
Respectfully disagree.
We have some strong feelings, but that's beside
We'll talk about that. I am friends with Terry Brooks. And
okay, well,
nothing against
him. It's fine.
It's fine. Terry, you're fine.
It's our new favorite.
No, I'm not saying that. Don't put those words in my
mouth. These always go off the rails immediately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we always do.
So back to your question, how does it feel to have go on to TikTok and randomly, organically have a bunch of random people I don't know talking about my book? It's bizarre.
It's
wild. Really wild and weird, because I've been writing since I was a little kid. My first book came out in 2003. It's been a long time.
Wow.
And I have never ever seen someone talk about any of my books that I didn't know until around 2017, when I wrote another little RPG novel called Dominion of Blades, and that one had kind of small.
Tom's also read about it.
Tom
agreed.
That had a small amount of people talking about it, but not too many.
Well, book talk wasn't book talk then.
Right. Yeah. It was typical. There's a lot of Facebook groups.
RPG.
Mm-hmm. And it's a super micro genre. And
absolutely.
It's very rare for books to kind of leak out.
Yeah.
And Carl's definitely leaked out.
Yeah.
I feel like the fandom around it is unexpected. Like, the people who are liking it.
Because it's cross-genre.
Right.
You have fantasy readers.
To me.
Romance readers. You have everyone right now.
To me, this genre is like.
Yeah.
More it is my husband's need, and now I'm seeing, like, these hot women on TikTok who are like, I love Dungeon Crawler Carl, I'm obsessed with Matt Dinneman. And I was like, okay. Like, it's just not the vibe I would expect to follow the book. But we have a lot of TikTok books that we've read that we don't like.
Yeah.
So when this started blowing up, I was like, okay, like, good. This is a good one.
We're like, finally, book talk understands. It just takes so a minute to get on page. Now if you could understand Thomas True, we'd be happy.
Yeah, seriously.
So
you published before Carl, you said.
I did.
So do you have a favorite book before Carl that you would tell people to read? And my husband says, why is it Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon?
Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon is one of my favorite books. There's another It wasn't a lit RPG before that. It's called The Grinding. Came out in 2013 from a small horror press called Necro Publications.
Yes, I love horror.
Unfortunately, the owner of Necro Publications, his name was Dave Barnett, he died.
And, sad face.
Mm. Yeah, and then as a result, it kind of went out of print.
Right.
And the book itself is out of print. Mm-hmm. And it's a kaiju-themed novel about a monster, and if it touches you, you become a part of it. And
love it.
It destroys Tucson, Arizona.
Zorbicon.
Yeah. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Sound Booth Theater, who does Jeff Hayes, who does the audiobooks for Carl, he just finished recording the Kaiju Battle, or I mean,
Badass.
Well, he did that too, but The Grinding.
Add to cart.
Seriously.
Audiobook, and it's available on their app, the Sound Booth Theater app. And they did a really, really good job with it. It's him and Annie Ellicott.
Sound Booth is popping off too. I've been watching him, man. He's doing great things.
And I'm so disappointed that I can't get the audiobooks for my library. That's my big thing right now, that barrier, because we've got all of these, the traditionally published, the physical books with the new covers.
Yeah.
But we can't get the audiobooks.
Yeah, it's an Audible exclusive.
Good for Audible,
which
man.
Good for you.
But also. Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, not sponsored.
I mean, he is.
Sure.
He's absolutely sponsored.
He's important.
Just not us.
Not us. Yeah, so which one would you tell people to start with?
Well, if they can't start with Carl, because I definitely tell people to start with Carl.
Yeah, it's why we come.
And the thing is, Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon is a completely different vibe. A lot of TikTok people who like Carl will not like Kaiju Battlefield
Surgeon.
That's
true.
It is extreme body horror. It's pretty bleak.
I know those TikTokers. I know that side of TikTok.
That is not my side.
That's my side of TikTok. They'll find you. But, they will.
Dominion of Blades is also another series. It's in between the two. It's unfinished because Carl kind of popped off.
Understandably.
But I will finish it. And that's just another lit RPG. It's about people who realize that they've been playing a video game for over 10,000 years one day, and then they don't know who they are or how they got stuck in there.
So, that's my vibe.
I don't want to give spoilers because Molly isn't as deep into the series as I am.
How dare
I
write?
That theme comes up in Carl as well.
Oh, yeah. People being stuck.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're in a simulation? Is that what you're trying to say, Matt?
Are we in a simulation?
I don't think so. There's a book that just came out. It's called When We Were Real by Daryl Gregory. It just came out. That's about people discovering that the Earth has been a simulation the whole time, about people dealing with it. It's a really good book.
Mm-hmm. Have you read
Add to Cart?
Yes, I was going to say, have you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Because there's references in your book, so I knew. But, Earth is a simulation.
Earth is a simulation.
Yeah, I was just talking about it's funny because video games are how I got started. My brother had Rogue on his computer, and then I started playing games like Zork, the text station. And then one day I got a game called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I never heard of the book.
Yeah.
But it's a text-based game, and you have to have read the book in order to pass it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is bullshit. So I can't even get, off of Earth. So I
keep dying. What the hell?
So I went to the library, and I got a copy of Hitchhiker's Guide, which I thought was basically a cheat guide to the game. And that's kind of how I fell in love with
In our house, we have a son who loves penguins and frequently, stop turning into a penguin, becomes a phrase we say because of that book. What can you tell us about the next Dungeon Crawler, Carl? Number 8.
Book 8, I'm working on it right now. It's, I don't know how much is out in the public. I can't remember how much I say at the end of book 7. It's racing based, so they have a vehicle, and they have to compete against a bunch of characters we haven't met yet.
So. Amazing.
And so the person who comes in last place is Pokemon to Mario Kart.
Exactly.
Yes! Yes. By the way,
Mario Kart.
Eye of the Bedlam Bride is my favorite. I fucking love that book. I was like, oh my gosh, I play Pokemon, and this is like sort of, I mean, I know it's probably more, well, it's its own thing, but I understood all of it, and I was like, oh yes, I want to trade. What was the Jesus card?
Uzi Jesus.
I was like, yes.
it's a pretty big Pokemon in Yu-Gi-Oh.
I love it. I thought it was great. That's my favorite. And then book seven, which was
This Inevitable Ruin, Faction Wars.
That is the other one. Those two right there, I don't know how you're going to top them because they are fucking fantastic.
It's like, hold my purse.
Do it.
I'm doing my best.
When do you expect it to be out in the masses?
I don't know when it's going to be finished. Someone on Goodreads said it's out in October. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I have a goal to have it done by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's when it's going to be out. I also have Operation Bounce House, which is a standalone sci-fi novel that's coming out from Penguin Random House.
Okay, add to cart.
On February, seriously. February 10th, I think, of 2026. That's all done and ready to go.
Cool.
And we want a little bit of a buffer between that and
book that's eight. Fair.
But
I hate other authors. I hate writers so much. Y'all just rub it in my face.
She is a writer, unpublished at this time.
So. Yeah.
Well, if you look at LitRPG guys, they tend to write really, really fast.
Oh, yeah, y'all do.
I write slow. The thing is, when that first came out, mm-hmm. the first one in paperback, I was already done with book three at that time. So it seems like they came out fast.
So are you a pantser or a plotter, though?
I am 100% of a pantser.
Holy shit, guys.
I don't plot anything.
Let the vibes flow.
Holy shit. Because I have been told my pantsing ways will never lead anywhere. I need you all to hear this. Pantsing gets you somewhere, fuckers.
There is nothing wrong with plotting. But if I plotted a book, I would never finish it.
Yeah. Oh,
That means the destiny for Carl is unknown.
It's unknown.
It's unknown. I have no idea how it's going to happen.
Hot damn. I love this.
People are always saying, you're such a good planner. You planned this out, and that's...
Fuck no. Well, it's all the chaos that you bring, homie.
Easter eggs at the end of the books.
There's and I don't know what they mean. I just...
It's like Phineas and Ferb. There's like a end scene in Phineas and Ferb that they had absolutely no idea that they didn't plan to continue it, and it became a fan like cult following.
Meeps in space.
Yeah, they were like, we need the meeps in space, so they actually wrote an hour long episode because people were like, what happens? And they're like, we just thought it was funny. No, we need to know what happens. So can we talk about the audiobooks?
Sure.
How did you get connected with Sound Booth and Jeff Hayes? Like, how did that come together?
So Jeff Hayes, he's been doing LitRPG audiobooks before Carl.
Mm-hmm.
He almost did the audiobook for Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon, but the original audiobook ended up getting snatched up by Tantor Audio instead. And
Tantor has some good stuff too.
Tantor does have good
stuff. Yeah, and so we were friends. We met originally at a audiobook awards ceremony in Kansas City for the Dominion of Blades, actually. The book two, that one is narrated by Andrea Parsnow, who does The Wandering Inn, who did The Wandering Inn, and several other amazing books, and we won that for Hobgoblin Riot. But he was at the ceremony, and we met him, and I became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, while I was writing Carl, and it was just up on Royal Road, I
Real
told
ass
him,
wedge. Nice.
Just weird stuff happening.
Yeah, all the time. It's chaos here.
Sorry, she has ADHD.
So do I.
You should have seen me. I was talking to an author yesterday, mid-conversation. The author, somebody walks by with cotton candy. I'm like, oh, cotton candy. And I literally start following him. And he goes, like, come back. We'll get you cotton
come
candy.
Back. Let
so
him finish talking.
There was this, like, amazing party here last night.
Yeah.
You guys are here.
We are here, yeah.
They were giving tattoos.
Yeah.
I know. We tried to get tattoos, and we didn't get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
So anyways, back to the audiobooks.
Oh, so anyway.
Hashtag ADHD friend.
Their Sound Booth Theater Live, which is their like biweekly podcast, I said, hey, let's do a scene from this book that I'm writing. And it's still on YouTube. You can watch it right now. It's the scene from book one where they meet the juicer.
Yeah.
Boss. And they did that with the full cast. Jeff did the Carl's voice. And like Gary Furlong, who's another amazing narrator, did the juicer. And then afterwards, he messaged me and said, I'm doing this audiobook. You ready? And I said, okay.
And Travis Baldry comes in at some point, too.
Travis Baldry comes in book six.
Six.
Yeah.
And we love his book, Legends and Lattes. We covered that on our podcast. He's phenomenal.
Have you ever met Travis Baldry?
No, but he narrates all, like, his books, too.
It's spectacular.
I'm just like, fucking hell, this is amazing.
He's super good looking, and he's the nicest guy in the world. And if you look at his history, he's like a video game designer. Yeah. Everything about him is
just
like perfectly
super great flags.
Awesome. So I know he has like dead hookers in his house.
He's a serial killer. Matt is certainly a serial killer.
Headless sex doll.
So I have a, so I have the Samantha doll, which is right. an actual sex doll head that I bought off of eBay, and I travel with it every once in a while. I don't have it here, unfortunately, because it's heavy. But
you don't need to see it.
I don't bring it out so much anymore because, it, like, I bring it to events and there's kids there, and they keep sticking her finger in her mouth.
You're like, no,
and it's like ridged on the inside. But I only went through security, like carry on security, with it once, and I had my phone ready to. It has a duffel bag. But it went through and they didn't do anything. It just went
Well, that's disturbing.
I know, right?
Good job,
TSA.
They seem
weirder, apparently. Oh, my goodness. I love Samantha. I'll kill your mother. She's just amazing.
And you have no idea what she's talking about.
No, because I've been doing my own writing and research. Yeah.
As you should.
She's read the first one.
But like I said earlier, you should always be reading while you're writing.
I am, nonfiction.
You don't have to read my stuff. Okay.
I'm in the middle of nonfiction.
Nonfiction's good too.
Yeah. And we are constantly reading because I've read 70 books already this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fast reader. Like, I know that sounds like somebody would be a fast reader. I'm not.
We just do an episode a week.
That's like 130 books a year?
Yeah.
Not normally. Normally, for the past 2 years, I've hit 100. And that was like such a big deal for me because I'm not a fast reader. But doing the podcast, I've become faster. Mm-hmm. But my issue is that not only am I a librarian, but I used to be an English teacher. So when I read, I don't necessarily, I mean, I do read for enjoyment, but my enjoyment in reading is really getting into the minutia of things. So I find like little nuggets along the way and I read very deeply. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't read fast.
You're reading fast now.
I am now. I don't know.
I mean, we're doing two seasons a year. Mm-hmm. We only take the summer off. We're doing an episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It is. That's why I only write in the summer.
But it's fun. We love it.
Is it mostly romance?
No. We call ourselves genre fluid. We read across genres. Every October we do horror and suspense.
I made her read Grady Hendrix last year.
Grady Hendrix and I have the same editor.
His book was fantastic, and I'm not a horror fan at
all.
Oh gosh, it creeped the shit out of me.
There's a bookstore that has like a little.
Yeah. Oh no, I that was the whole point of this, is I wanted her to read my stuff because I wanted her opinion on the books I was reading, mm-hmm. and she was reading. Just romance.
Honestly, I wasn't even reading romance when we started this. I was mostly reading, like,
YA? Fiction. Fantasy?
I love fantasy, too. And I love sci-fi, but...
I like reading all genres,
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. That's what we call ourselves.
I find a lot of authors fall into that trap where they're only reading in their own genre, and as a result, it's almost like multiplying tropes is a certain way. I can sometimes tell when I read a book that...
They're just stuck in their hole.
Yeah.
So a friend of ours, Francesca Zappia, she is a YA author, but she's reading you right now too.
She's amazing.
We had a conversation with
her
about
it.
And she writes like kind of across genres, but one of her books, which is called Cats and Hammer.
Oh my god, oh that my book gosh. Is amazing.
It is a straight up horror, and you would love it.
It'll ruin you because you don't realize what's happening till the very end, and you're like, holy shit.
But her brain is kind of amazing.
I'm always up to be right.
She also was published for the first time when she was still in high school.
Wow.
Traditionally published.
This girl also has a master's in like public business administration, and Francesca Zappia is one of, like, she is a honorary book bestie. She comes on every season. Yeah.
We're going to get you a shirt, too.
She
has a shirt.
She comes and gets you a shirt. Okay. She comes and reads. Well, you have to come
on
the pod,
I have your
though.
Phone number now, so I'm going to text you for your address.
That's right. We should talk so much.
Number, yeah. I know. I'm going to text you for your address and be like, how do I send this shirt to you?
So
if you read my next book, you'll see what we can do with people's phone numbers. So.
Now!
Okay, so this is a favorite question we love to ask authors across genres. Do vampires have sperm?
Do they have active sperm? I would say no.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because what the fuck's Renesmee?
This started with our Twilight episode. Mm-hmm. Vampires do not have sperm.
Well, you see, if it's a world where the vampires have some sort of scientific explanation.
Like Ally has a wooden bride.
Yeah, then it doesn't make sense in any way.
Right.
Unless it's like a parasitic... thing, and then they would have some sort of reproduction method that's different.
Right.
And traditionally, it's biting is the way you do it. And because it probably has like right. some sort
okay, so book 9, put a vampire in and explain the lore, and then, you know, give us a shout out.
I already did vampires in book 5.
Oh, you did? That's right. Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh. I don't want to give spoilers, but now I'm sad.
All right, so I have to ask you, this book is dedicated to Fiona the hippo.
It is.
Who I am obsessed with.
I am obsessed as well.
Why Fiona?
Well, there's an afterword that explains it.
Yes, so, I know. But I'm asking you to tell other people.
I know how this works.
The internet friends. Did you not see the camera? The camera.
So, Fiona the hippo, if you know the story, she was born at the Cincinnati Zoo. She was like super underweight. And when that happened, the whole world was watching. Mm-hmm. And everyone was obsessed. You know how people were obsessed with Mudang just a whole year ago? It was nothing compared.
She was before TikTok.
She was huge.
Yeah.
And everyone thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing story. And I still haven't met her.
Are you going to go down to Cincinnati while you're here?
Not while I'm here. I'm planning for in March of next year. We're working on a tour because...
Of course you are. Because this man doesn't get to sleep.
I know. Because the Operation Bounce House will be out. And then the This Inevitable Ruin... will be out in hardcover, and hopefully right around that time book 8 will be coming out. And I told them, if we do a Cincinnati date, I'd like to do a Cincinnati date, please make sure there's either a day off in front of it or behind it.
So you need to just reach out to her handler and be like, I want behind the scenes access. I am fucking Matt Gentleman.
Seriously, just go on your TikTok and be like, I would like to meet Fiona the hippo, and they will have it set up for you within minutes, I bet.
I love her. So she's originally from Ohio, and hippos are my favorite animal. And so when you're talking
about... They're my favorite animal.
Yes! That's amazing. So when you're talking about the world watching, like he was stationed here. My husband's retired Coast Guard. We were stationed here.
Yeah, that's how we met. Actually, the Coast Guard
with babies, and he was gone all the time. And I was just watching Fiona, and then April the giraffe, who was pregnant at the same time I was pregnant with our second one. So I was watching her give birth as well.
April the giraffe's from my neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a big fan of Rico the porcupine.
Yes, I love his ASMR videos. That he hates. I'll go down rabbit holes. Like, where's Rico? I need to see it. But husband got me
husband
a print.
In the Navy.
Coast Guard. Coast Guard.
That's the
met.
Joke in the book.
I know.
Okay.
God damn it.
That's how we actually met. I was active duty with Tom.
Yeah. And he got me for one of our anniversaries a print of Fiona and her brother Fritz.
No. I have the nose print on my wall.
Yes, that's what I do too. I have it on my wall.
That's just, I don't have Fritz one. I have Fiona one from before Fritz's wall.
Well, I voted on Fritz's name too. It's the perfect Hungarian Midwesterner name.
Obviously.
Yeah. Who are you excited to see here?
Well, Greg Hurwitz is here. He wrote the Orphan X series, and I tore through those during COVID. I would like to meet him. So that's pretty cool. And then the HWA Ohio chapter is here. Yeah. It's chock full of indie horror authors.
Yeah.
That booth, I can't wait to hang out there.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Anything you can tell us about what you've got coming up? That you haven't already told us? Like maybe some adaptations?
Well, on the book front, again, The book 7 hardcover is out at the end of September.
Nice.
And pre-order is available. The Operation Bounce House, sci-fi novel about colonists on a distant planet that are being eradicated by gamers on Earth. That's coming out in February. Adaptation-wise, in next week, Webtoon has the Dungeon Crawler Carl adaptation coming out. That's generated some talk online.
How do you feel about that?
I really enjoy it. I think it's... A lot of people are complaining certain things about like the art and stuff.
Right.
But the people that are complaining aren't people who read Webtoon. It's, Webtoon has a very specific
pocket
demographic. Yeah. It's, I think right now it's like 50-50 female, male. Mm-hmm. Most of them are... It's a Korean company. And a lot of them are Korean that speak English. And that's... It's a whole different market. The actual comic itself is very, very true to the story.
Awesome.
So I'm pretty excited to see
it. That's amazing.
And then there's a possible another comic style adaptation that I'm not supposed to talk about just yet.
We're not talking about that.
We'll be talking about it pretty soon.
Okay.
If it exists.
Well, maybe in September we can talk about it.
Yeah, definitely by then. Definitely by then. Then there's the television adaptation, which the news came out about a year ago that NBC Universal and Fuzzy Door, which is Seth MacFarlane's company,
yes,
are in the process of creating a live-action television series.
How do you feel about that?
I'm all for it. I think if it's done well, it'll be fantastic.
I mean, Seth MacFarlane's a good hand to take this.
Absolutely.
I think so.
And just because we're attempting a live-action series doesn't mean in the future we can't possibly do an animated series as well.
So, you've written several Carl books. What is a scene you've cut that you really wish now fans got to see?
So as a pantser, I write, and don't do this, I write scenes over and over again. That's one of the reasons why I'm kind of a slow writer, is like, if I'm stuck in a scene, I will write it so Carl dies, Mongo dies, Donut dies.
I am glad that you're not dead.
Just to see how everyone else's reactions are to it, and, you know, you really realize what's at stake here. So I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scenes where things go off in completely different random directions.
Right.
I usually, if I don't know where something's going, I will write the scene four or five different ways with different endings. I'll reuse the words a lot and stuff, but a lot of times they would completely change the whole course of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like my Patreon. They get to vote on things that happen. They voted for the cookbook to exist, for example.
That's amazing.
And that's an extremely important part
of the
book.
Don't forget about the Patreon game.
Yeah, huge part.
And so there are lots of scenes, especially in book 5 and in book 7, there's lots of things that go completely different directions.
Yeah.
In book 7, without giving spoilers, there's a scene where a god appears. And I was trying to come up with, what form will this god take? Then I just did something really, really stupid.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was so funny because it's
a god.
Yeah, it's a god. His name is Metus.
Like M-E-A-T?
M-E-A-T-U-S.
I love it.
In medical terms, it's pronounced Meatus, I think, but it's in the book, it's Metus. And I was never intending on that to be an actual person.
And it just happened.
And I loved it so much, I kept it.
I love when the invisible friends just make us do things.
Yes.
All right, well, we are not going to take up any more of your time.
We appreciate it.
It has been absolutely...
You're amazing, guy. I hope you know that.
When we got the list of who was going to be here, we immediately said we have got to get Matt Benjamin.
I've been talking about it on the pod, like a little creepily. I've been looking at the stock on Matt Benjamin.
Please don't stalk him.
No, I'm a little creepy.
When I got the list of all the podcasts that were asking for me to do this weekend, I said, I'm only doing professors.
Yes! Because we're the coolest ones.
Yeah.
And we're really persistent, won't go a fuck away.
Very much so.
Kind of annoying to me, so.
It's the ADHD. It makes me go really annoying.
She's my extrovert friend that adopted me.
It's not annoying. It's just
it's adorable.
Yeah.
For some people.
I'm an introvert. She adopted me, so.
That's how
I got stuck with her.
It's how you get stuck with me, too. It's like you're not getting rid of us now.
We're the gum on you. T-shirt, and then I'll be...
He's getting a t-shirt. We are getting you a t-shirt.
Well, thank you, Matt. Seriously.
Thank you so much.
Besties, we'll be back next time.
I think we're back in an hour.
I don't know. Sure.
But
bye.
Matt will be here all weekend and lots of lives and signings. So
yeah.
Molly turned it off already.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay.
That one.
Yeah, you can turn it off.
Seriously, Matt, thank you.